It's 7 p.m. and I want to welcome everybody here this evening. First thing on the agenda is if you don't have an agenda, there's an agenda over here and also another copy of another page. First thing on the agenda is the Pledge of Allegiance, and then we'll take a moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we have our auditors here tonight, so I always put them on first. He's on overtime. And this is our Mr. Hoagland, Roy Hoagland, and he is one of the, I guess, aren't you a partner in this?
I'm a partner with Wellington CPAs.
Wellington, okay.
I've been with them for 34 years now.
Okay.
And I'm ready to present. Are you ready for me, Mayor?
Go ahead.
Okay, well, I think we all know each other from November.
Let me say this much. Yeah. There is, if you haven't got it, there's a couple of sheets up here that has the findings and recommendations, which you'll get to the end. So I just want to let you know if you're wanting a copy of them, they're up here. All right? All right, go ahead, sir. Okay. Thank you. Sorry to bother you.
No, you're fine. You know, a little bit of history here. You had quite a few years you had to catch up on. Okay, so I think, and off the top of my head, maybe we've done 15, 16, 17, and now we've done 18.
Yeah, we're on 18.
So we've done 4 years all in over a couple of years, I guess.
No, we started last year.
Well, okay, a year and a half. Hey, that's real fun with you. Okay, so now what you have in front of you tonight, commissioners and mayor, is the 6/30/18 audit. Okay, so we're at that point now. Now, in addition to the audited financial statements themselves, you have this letter that I've presented to you, and I've explained this in the past, and I'll explain it again tonight. This letter is our communication to you all, because you're in charge of governance of the city, and this letter's attempts to kind of explain the audit process in general terms, kind of summarize what we did and how the audit went, okay? So the first paragraph of the letter, it basically states to you that you hired us to perform an audit in accordance with government auditing standards, and that you signed an engagement letter, and you engaged us. And after that, we talk about significant audit matters. Well, one thing we talk about in the second paragraph is how the accounting policies, and this entire audit is your audit. It's the city's audit, and these are your accounting policies, and these are your accounting procedures, okay? We also talk about accounting estimates, because estimates can be important to financial statements, since estimates are made by management, okay? Now, in the case of all the cities we audit, the only significant estimate is really the useful lives of the capital assets, your roads, sidewalks, infrastructure. If you buy capital assets, you have to estimate their useful lives. So we discuss that with you, and we make sure they're appropriate, we record those. As we move through the significant audit matters, we talk about, did we have any difficulties in performing the audit? No, we really didn't, except, you know, your old books were behind, this and that. Dan's has done a good job of catching things up. So they're not always the cleanest set of books, but they will be for 6/30/19. They'll be much cleaner. So, but in general, we had no significant difficulties. And we talk about corrected and uncorrected misstatements. Did we find any material misstatements to your books as they were given to us? No, no material misstatements. Now, keep in mind, we do these things for you. We prepare the financial statements. They're yours, but we prepare them. We also prepare your depreciation schedule, your assets. We also do what's basically a cash to accrual, what we call a flip. You basically record your books on a cash basis in general, okay? And then when we perform the audit, If there have been fixed assets purchased, capital assets, we will set those up. We'll pull it out of repairs and maintenance, set that up. We will adjust property taxes receivable, those types of things. So we bring your books into accordance with GAAP, which is accrual accounting, okay? So just a few entries that we know we're going to make each year. So we don't call those with statements. We just know we're going to make those entries on your behalf. And then, second page of the letter, do we have any disagreements with management? No, have no disagreements with management. Tonight, the mayor signed a management representation letter to us, basically three or four page letter stating that the city provided us with everything we needed to perform the audit. Represented everything to us, open records, etc. We had no other significant, well, we've had some audit findings, and we'll talk about those in the back of the audit report. So that's just kind of our way of summarizing the whole audit process. And as you can see, if we had difficulties performing the audit, you'd want to know that, and we didn't. If you had material mistakes, you'd want to know that, you didn't. So this is a kind of a good summary letter. Now, as I stated in the past, here we are with this, in your case, 23-page audit report. I'm not going to go over each page of this audit report, obviously, but I'm going to highlight what's important and what I think is important for you to know as a city commission. First thing that's important is the independent auditor's report, page 1. Unmodified opinion, your financial statements are materially correct. Okay, so you can count on these financial statements. And after that, I would turn to your management discussion and analysis, page 3. What's important on page 3, since these are seen with your audits, this is where we do a comparison. And in the world of accounting and looking at financial statements, comparisons are important because you're looking for unusual or significant fluctuations or things that cannot be explained, possibly, performing an audit. In your all's case, you're pretty consistent from 17 to 18. Your assets increased by about $25,000. That's because you, quote, made money during the year. Your liabilities increased somewhat, too. That's just your accounts payable, or you owe to vendors, etc., at year end. Okay? So your net position, which is your bottom line, if you were a for-profit business, this would be your retained earnings, basically. You know, what you've accumulated in assets greater than liabilities from the beginning of time. That increased by $18,291. You see that in the third column over. So your net position increased, which is a positive thing, from 17 to 18. So that's good. You want your net position to increase. Normally, some years if you have a lot of snow removal or heavy storm damage or things like that, cities can run into a situation where they may have a net loss for the year. Nothing that the city did wrong, it's just you can't control all of your expenses. But in your own case, you made a profit for the year. Page 4. So that's basically your balance sheet. Assets, liabilities, net position. Page 4, your statement of activities, basically an income statement. Your for-profit type of business. And you can see here again, you stand down when you look at your revenues. Okay, now, one thing is going to jump out to you guys, and it jumped out to me also. Under your general revenue property taxes, you say, well, why is there an $83,000 difference from 17 to 18? Well, that's pretty easy to explain. In 17, you collected a lot of delinquent taxes from 16. Okay, in government accounting standards, taxes that have not been collected within 60 days of year end are not counted as revenue. It's just the way the government wants it. You know, if they're outstanding, you haven't collected them within 60 days, you don't get to count them for that year's revenue. It's basically deferred. It's put off. It will be counted later. So in 16, you had delinquent taxes that were collected in 17. Okay, and we went over that back in 16 and 17. And even in 18, that says 151 in property tax. That number was more like 166. Again, there was about 15,000 that had not been collected within 60 days. 15,000 net change from last year to this year had not been collected. So you'll see on another statement, your property taxes were basically 166, but about 15 had not been collected. But still, even with those situations, and a part of this is just cleaning up from prior years. Obviously,
You hadn't collected taxes in 16, they came in 17. Now I know, you know, a new commission here, you guys are on top of it, so that will start to just even out as you go forward. You look at your general expenses, they're pretty much in line. They were down from 17 to 18. Okay, so net change in net position for 18, $18,291, for 17, $95,860. That's basically your net income of each year. Now the $95,860 is inflated because the timing situation. Taxes from 16 were collected in 17. Okay? So, you know, those are all positive numbers. You know, based on us catching up audits and all that, I feel pretty good about, you know, being able to have that type of return and for you guys to keep making money or having income in excess of expenses. Mm-hmm. Another item is, what you're all city, as you know, on page 6, for example, this is a balance sheet. This is, you know, nice to know for the city where you stand, asset liability wise in detail. Cash and cash equivalents, 184. Investments, 375. Okay, so, you know, that's pretty liquid for a city of your size to have that type of money in investments. I know you've got those in CDs, cash and cash equivalents, some money market accounts, I think. Now, the next thing important to talk to you guys about is any audit findings you may have had. In the back, starting on page 21, is our internal control report. Okay, as I discussed for the year ended 6/30/17, as we discussed for the year ended 6/30/16, okay, we had some findings in performing the audit.
Excuse me a second.
Go right ahead.
That page is up here if you want a copy of it. Okay. I made copies for you so that you could follow along, okay? This audit report will be on the website probably tomorrow, Thursday. Okay.
We had 4 audit findings. They're the same findings as we had when we were all here in November for the prior year, except there's one less for this year having to do with payroll, okay? So this is basically a duplication from 6/30/17. And you see your all's responses to each one, like the first one. The city lacked, you know, proper segregation of duties going back 2 and 3 years ago. You know, you guys have responded to that. Now you have good separation of duties between the clerk and the commission and the mayor and how things work. And you guys explained that to the leaders of the statements, what your all's response is, how you corrected that lack of segregation of duties, starting basically January 1, 2019. Our second finding were certain expenditures were not reviewed and approved by the city commission as they should have been. Okay, at June 30, 2018, that was still the situation, but as of January 1, 2019, that's been corrected. All invoices and expenditures and receipts are now reviewed and approved by the city commission, et cetera, et cetera.
What page are you on?
23.
23.
Oh, you're good.
I was at 21.
No, you're fine. That's,
I got straight
sorry.
Of it. Sorry.
We also found that the city did not maintain adequate bonding insurance, okay, at that date, June 30, 2018. The mayor got on top of that, starting 1/1/19, and then as of 7/1/19, you've now got $1 million surety bond, okay, based on covering all of your assets, et cetera. And June 30, 2018, some of your cash, well, you had CDs in cash in excess of insured or collateralized amounts. And, Mayor, has that all been moved yet as we sit here tonight?
Yeah, all the CDs are moved. Everything Everything is collateralized.
So as of now, everything's collateralized. What that basically meant, you know, the rule about FDIC insurance up to $250,000 per customer. Per bank, okay. So some of your CDs at 6/30/18 were covered by the FDIC, but you had some in excess of the bank you had them at, and we could not prove that they had proper other collateral. A bank has the ability to go above the FDIC insurance, especially for municipalities. So basically, if you had, say, $1 million in CDs at one bank, they're insured up to $250,000. The other $750,000 they can use their own bank stock, their own bank equity as collateral. And they'll often do that for municipalities, for school districts, for government-type entities. So they'll guarantee your money based on their assets. In your all's case, you're over independence, and they're doing that. Either you're covered by the 250 or by their collateral.
Yeah, we're insured up to the 250, and then they're collateralizing everything above that. And they twice notified me that they've increased it. So
again, you know, this report looks a lot like the one June 30th, 17, and we're gonna just after our tax season. If you guys agree to it tonight, Mayor's going to sign an engagement letter, so we get 6/30/19 completed, and then you'll be called up. Any questions?
Okay. Yeah, I do have a question.
Sure. All right.
Because we talked about it on the phone.
Oh, I'm glad you remembered that.
I wasn't going to forget it.
Right.
Yeah. He has to find it first.
Page, I'll tell you. Page 8. Okay, I'll handle this, Mayor.
I hope you do.
Well,
I would never be able to.
Okay. Long story short, the Special Revenue Fund owes the General Fund $87,000, okay? Just between the funds, because the funds were commingled at one time, and you didn't have, like, CDs isolated as being a part of the Special Revenue Fund and CDs isolated, separated as part of the General Fund. They were kind of together. But we have tracked, and the prior accounts have tracked, what the balance should be in each fund, and we just created that balance. But then we had a situation, though, where we were moving CDs, correct, Mayor?
We
didn't want to cash them all in.
Right. Well, so, we couldn't because they weren't mature.
Yeah.
Okay. In 2016, at one of the meetings that I was at, being a commissioner, we were arguing because I was the road commissioner and I was wondering where all my money's at. Okay, not my money, but the city's road fund money. Okay, and come find out that our $150,000 CD had been purchased by taking so much from the road fund and so much from the general fund and putting them together. Now, again, that happened in 2014, and again, I'm not going to explain why they did it, okay, because nobody knew. They kept track of it, okay, and when I saw this, I was like, what is this that we owe? I'm like, so I called Mr. Hoagland, and we worked it out, hashed it out, and so the funds that we have in the road fund right now, this $87,159, part of our road funds needs to go over to the general fund. The $87,159 needs to go from the road funds to the general fund. Because when we cashed in the $150,000 CD, we put it all into Independence Road Fund bank account.
So this is a bookkeeping. It's not more than that. It's actually something that needs to happen if you want to do it. Now, I'll have to, full disclosure here, there are cities that have the do-to-do-froms between the funds. I'm an accountant. I'm a little old CD. If you have the ability to clean that up, I like the idea of cleaning that up. In other words, you've got the money up here in the road aid, in the investments, and in cash and cash equivalents. So if you start to just take action to just transfer those monies from the road aid accounts, because they're actually CDs and bank accounts, over to the general fund. You can invest in CDs over there, or
there's cash. There's no CDs. It's all cash.
All cash over to the general fund. And just get it over there to the general fund so you don't have a new CD problem.
Okay.
And then in the future, like I was telling the mayor, you know, the general fund can spend its money on road repairs and maintenance anytime it wants to. The only thing that's restricted in the special revenue fund, and a lot of cities don't understand this, believe it or not, the only thing that's restricted is the money coming in from the state of Kentucky. So what makes that a restricted fund are the road aid monies that you receive. You can't spend those monies for anything other than road improvements, okay? So then some cities think, oh, we've got to make some road improvements. So we're going to borrow the money
from the general fund and we're going to put it into the special revenue fund. No, the general fund can just make road expenditures also. The purpose of that fund is that the revenue is reserved, okay? The revenue is what's restricted, okay, from the state of Kentucky. And that's the whole purpose of that fund, is that it's restricted revenue. So some cities think when they make road repairs or maintenance, and maybe they don't have enough money in the road aid fund to do it, but the road aid fund has to borrow from the general fund. No, the general fund can just spend the money, because it's all the city's money at that point. So what's really restricted is the revenue side of it.
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about doing that later. Yeah. We can handle that when you're not here, because it's just moving money from one bank account.
Yeah, so legally the money can go one way but not the other, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The road aid money, rest of staying a restricted account.
Right.
Any questions? Wow. Well, thanks.
Okay.
Thanks for having me again,
Mike. Well, while you're still here, we need to get a motion to move forward the 2019 city audit.
Make a motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Hall. Do I hear a second?
Second, this is full audit, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we have to do a full audit. Okay, we're going to talk about doing the 20 here. Okay.
So that will bring us up to June 30th of 2019.
Right. Right. Right now it's due in Frankfurt on the 1st of March. But I sent DLG a note and they sent me back a form and we had gotten an extension. Okay. They already knew about our problem and I've been staying in contact with them, so they gracefully, I mean, I sent it back and within 30 minutes I had approval. So anyhow, I have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? It's unanimous.
Okay. Okay. You accept the audit, and Mayor, like I've done in the past, tomorrow or the next day on your behalf, I will electronically submit a copy of the audit to DLG.
They're expecting it.
Yeah, and then I'll send it back to the company and receive it. And then you're done for the year.
Good job.
Thank you.
Good job. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Does not have any state tax revenue?
Well,
no.
Did she? 1231. She didn't have my permission.
As soon as they get this, they'll release our web funds and turn over the whole
thing. So what are they going to have on the previous?
Oh, yeah. 1 month. So we've got about $22,000 worth of road funds coming.
You sure?
Gotcha.
Wow.
Maybe 23.
Okay.
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 Okay. I see we have some new people in the room, so I want to take a moment to introduce ourselves. I'm Mayor Stoneham. Used to be a commissioner before I got elected mayor. Very familiar with what's going on or had been going on in this city since 14. On the end down there is, I'll let Steve introduce himself.
The city attorney. Yeah, bows and arrows. Do something.
I'm Doug Lush, city clerk.
I'm Dan Small, city treasurer.
Harold Hall, property commissioner.
Dennis Metcalf, safety commissioner.
I'm Lincoln Mavell, I'm your utilities commissioner.
And Carol Campbell, road commissioner.
All right. All right. So now that we get the introduction done, let's move into citizen participation. And I know we have some people here who want to say something, so if you'll raise your hand and be recognized, I will. Yes, ma'am, can you introduce yourself?
Yes, hi, I am Susan Maupin.
Yes, ma'am.
I am here. I did receive a past tax bill, actually for 3 years. And I am one of the homes that I've resided in my home for 22 years.
Mm-hmm.
3 years ago, we were notified that we weren't part of Worthington Hills. And we had to be annexed in.
Mm-hmm.
And I assumed by a phone call to my mortgage company that my taxes were being paid, my city taxes, as they were prior.
Mm-hmm.
Because they would not, they refused to pay for services.
Right.
When I contacted them, and once we received the notification that we were again annexed in, and I believe that was in the same year, if I'm correct, I think it was.
Yeah, I remember
it was the letter that I received. I did call my mortgage company back, and at that time, they implied that they would resume the tax payment, and I would just, it would just be taken out of my escrow. I've had the same mortgage company. And when I received the tax bill, I called, and they said, no, ma'am, you never sent us in the form. And I said, I don't know what form you're talking, you know, I believe I spoke to the attorney about that at that time, the meeting that I came to mm-hmm. about the annexation.
Right.
And,
but you knew you were annexed, right?
Yes, I did receive a letter, and I called the mortgage company. I told them I had the letter. They didn't ask them, they didn't ask me to send it in. They didn't ask for any kind of literature or verbiage, you know, that this was taking place. But when I got the tax bill and called them back, they said, well, you know, as far as we can see, you never submitted the proper documentation. Okay.
When you say the tax bill, you mean by letter? Or
yes, sir.
You would have received for those 3 years, you would have received a tax bill mailed to you. They don't mail them to the mortgage company.
No, they never have. You're correct about that. And I've always assumed that the mortgage company was handling it.
But did you send the tax bills into the mortgage
company? No, they took care of it automatically. I've been with the same mortgage company for 22 years.
Well, they didn't take care of it then if they didn't pay it.
They haven't. Because they're saying I didn't produce
Well, you didn't send them the tax bills. We don't send them to the mortgage
company. I know you don't send them to the mortgage company. It was automatically set up at the time that I purchased my home.
Well, then you purchased your home and weren't part of the city.
I've been paying Worthington Hill taxes 18 years prior to the past 3 years.
And the quid pro quo was that you received the services, so we even that out, is what happened.
Well, exactly. When I first contacted you about it, you said, and I asked how will I be able to explain this to my mortgage company, and you said it was, you know, services. And I contacted the mortgage company, and they said, well, we don't pay for services. You know, we need something. You know, some kind of documentation.
I think that what we agreed to was that because you were billed, you would have, because if you hadn't received the services, then you paid the tax, and we would have had to reimburse you for those years.
So,
well, there was never a lack of services, ever.
No, what I'm saying is, and I think that we had an agreement with the people likely situated as you, is that because you received the services and you paid the tax, then that was a wash. It was prospectively, when you were annexed, then that you would be taxed and you would receive the services like you did. So really nothing changed.
No, nothing changed except for my mortgage company paying the taxes.
Right.
And
so,
unfortunately, I've been having to deal with a debilitating illness. I haven't been doing my taxes myself. I switched tax ladies and in the past few years, so she didn't pick it up because that year I didn't claim the services on my taxes.
Okay. Well, it would have been after you were next, it would have been the deduction on tax.
So what is it exactly that you
I'm asking is there any way that we could negotiate the fees or possibly
the attorney fee, the way the ordinance is read, the attorney is able to charge up to $150. Okay,
I'll waive my fees.
So if Steve wants to do that, you know, work with you, That's fine. Okay. But as far as the taxes,
no,
and,
the interest and penalties,
we have to collect that part.
I understand.
I'll waive my fees, so if you just pay the base tax, the interest and
penalties. Well, thank you. Yes, I will write you a check right now for that. I really
you
appreciate
it. To me?
I'll give you a worthy to heal. Unfortunately, my son was in a terrible, well, he was in a car accident and he totaled my car.
Oh, no.
And someone else was at fault. No, I actually had to purchase another car.
So how does the mortgage company know if we don't send tax? Because I don't know
how they do.
They don't know. That's
well, mine's being paid because I didn't get a letter. I can assure you I don't send. Okay, let me explain this.
Yeah.
Okay. First off, when you get the tax bill, you know, there's a little note in there that says we're not responsible for no kind of mortgage company. Okay. The mortgage company, and this is one of the things that they do. They either do it themselves or they have a service provider. That is a conglomerate. We've got three of them that I know of. We have Wells Fargo, CoreLogic, and Loretta. They're my biggest problems. Okay. Anyhow, that was what we've been charging. They keep sending stuff, requesting stuff, and it isn't even tax season. So we've been sending them, because they are a commercial entity, we've been sending them a commercial open records request and charging them $1 per piece of property, okay, and we've been making money. Well, we've been collecting on it, okay. So, and it is time consuming. It's not just something you do. It's time consuming, and this is part of the learning process that I went through, because I wasn't exposed to this before. But they are constantly sending us stuff, and we're constantly now sending them back this form, which requires them to also get it notarized. So the other reason for doing this is because you just don't give out this information to anybody because of how easy it is to steal property by paying off tax liens. Okay? So, by making them sign what they're doing it for, then we know they're not going after somebody's delinquent tax to get a quick sale on it. Then they take your property, because you do a quick sale, you're out the title and you don't even know it. So that's one of the things that we've been doing. Dana and Deb probably don't. Deb knows I've been sending them. So we're trying to protect the people.
Okay. So the question really is, if it's safe to assume that if you were in her situation, you had 18 years paid in, they were taking an escrow, you were paying your taxes in escrow, then wouldn't she have a beef with the people that were collecting? I'm telling you, I'd be screaming mad at them. They wouldn't want to talk to me.
Well, you know,
but
that
she got
the benefit of the service.
I did.
No, that's not what she's talking about. She's talking about the mortgage company has collected the fees. I had this.
Well, up until 3 years ago.
Oh, okay. So okay.
Up until 3 years ago, they didn't. When I called them and, you know, explained what was going on with the annexation, they said, we're not paying for services. You know,
I'm not sure I understand that.
Well, did they? Well,
I tried to tell them. Garbage pickup,
gotcha.
City lights, and
did so they keep continually taking out the amount?
They stopped.
Okay, all right.
They stopped, but they led me to believe when I contacted them and said, okay, annex back in.
Okay.
And you know, that whomever I spoke to.
Okay.
So that is one thing I'll have to look into, is if they have been dumping that amount towards my escrow, and to see, because of course I'm paying Jefferson County taxes, Louisville City taxes, and the people out in San Mateo, California, have no idea, you know, what's going on here in Louisville, Kentucky. So that's, I'm trying to get that straightened out, and I'm trying to get it to where they will start.
Okay.
You know, that way.
But you can pay it yourself, right?
I can't pay it myself.
Yeah.
I just am unsure about, you know, what I need for my taxes, as far as when I file my taxes. How do I explain a satellite city?
When was the last time you...
It's a year's
refinance.
I haven't.
Oh, you haven't?
No. No, so I'm lucky there, I guess. But there's other houses back there. I think there's seven of us.
The satellite city okay, is not something. We are actually a city, okay? We have all the charter and everything. It's just a matter of when you fill out your tax form. I'm not a tax expert, but whatever I did was when it said, do you have local tax, you know, this is what I paid for the city, this is what I paid for the county, total up, and boom, that's what I have for taxes. So, yeah.
Like St. Matthews or...
You're right, mm-hmm. Right.
And I guess, they were telling me, the mortgage company, they were calling it a satellite city.
It's just a term that they use, yeah.
So they're, so I'm trying to get that straightened out because I definitely don't, and I couldn't understand why it was like 3 years to be notified.
Are you on Pacelli?
Oh my gosh.
Are you on Pacelli?
Yes, I am. And I think
you're on the right side of Pacelli?
Yes,
okay.
I am. Yes, yeah. Where the tornado hit.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and then I think there's seven other people that may be in the same boat. Maybe, I don't know if it's several homes, because our board's been contacted about, these taxes, what are they talking about?
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm not quite sure if it's someone that, I think there's only one person new that's moved in.
Right.
That may not understand.
Right. Because.
So.
Yeah, okay. All right.
But
so
yes, I would like to make this right and
okay.
Say it.
All right. We can do that later on.
Okay. All
okay.
Right. Thank you very
don't,
much.
Don't leave
thank
before.
You.
Did you bring your paperwork with you?
So I did. Just,
okay, good.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. And who are you?
My name is Karen White, although legally in my house is still in Weiler, so that's maybe how you know me. But I'm sort of in the same situation, except for I got my house refinanced 4 years ago.
Oh.
And so I made a check. I got the bill in the mail. I paid a check. You all never cashed it. Huh. I called. I found a number on the internet. I can't tell you the name of the lady I called. I think it was a woman, and she said, "No, you don't owe that," is what she said to me.
Do you call your sister?
Steve.
That's right.
She.
I'm just.
No, but basically, I did get continued in the bill. I probably should have investigated it more. I get that now, but my only complaint really is because I've already mailed the check for the taxes. My only complaint is. I listened to the CPA say, well, we collected these taxes in 17 that were owed in 16, mine are 16, 17, 18, and 19 that owe taxes for. Why didn't someone?
Okay. All right.
I don't know.
The taxes that he was talking about was people that had sold houses. When they were selling the houses, okay, we can catch it, okay, at that point in time because the title company comes in and asks, is there any delinquent taxes? Okay, and there has been a lot of people getting caught. Okay, so that's how that type of delinquency is what he's talking about on those. They're not.
So, but
we when we walked in here, we walked into people. Mr. Schweiger had not got a delinquency list.
For four years. And I begged for him, and I didn't get it.
Yeah. And
that from the old administration.
Yes.
From the person you probably talked to.
Okay, so I understand that. I understand you all are all new, or a lot of you are new, and you're doing things differently, and that's good. But my question is, even when you did get this delinquency notice, why did it go to your lawyer? Why didn't you just send me a letter and say, hey?
Because I didn't know that they were paid.
You didn't get a list.
See, the thing with 4 years, traditionally, the orders is always say if you pay the base tax in August, you get a 2% discount. Mm-hmm. If you pay it in, I'm sorry, July. If you pay it in August, it's the base tax. If you pay it in September, there's an 11% penalty. And in each successive month, there's a 1% penalty. But because I wasn't getting the delinquent, and then in October or November, I would get people had not paid their taxes, and then I would send out a letter. And then people would pay, and then I would send another letter. And then if they didn't pay, then I would record a lien, okay? Mm-hmm. And I did that every year, all right? So a number of things happened. I wasn't getting those, so then when we tried to catch up 4 years, we sent out 200 tax letters. And then And I put in the letter, the only mistake I made was that if you have proof of payment, send it to me. And I didn't put that in there. So people calling and calling. And I wasn't going to be calling everybody on time. I made up for all that. Second thing that happened that hurt the city was that because I did not record tax liens and those properties were sold, and this happened a lot. So if a tax is owed for, let's say, 2017, but we don't have a lien, and then the property is sold in 2018 or any year after the tax was due, we lose the revenue because the purchaser of that property had no knowledge that there was a tax due. The tax attorney would, or the closing attorney would have done a title exam, and they don't see any taxes due, any liens for the city of Woodland Hills, although the taxes were due. But we can't, if a person buys a piece of property that's subject to a tax lien, then the buyer is aware of that and they have to pay it. But if there's no tax lien and they buy the property, even though the tax is due, our only recourse would be to chase the person that owned the tax when the tax was due.
So you're saying it's not the policy of the city, if someone doesn't pay for you all to send a letter, it just goes straight to him.
Correct.
Right. Let's see, we were 4 years behind, and it's been a mess.
Yeah. And what years were those?
That it would have been
15, 16, 17, and 18.
Yeah. Okay. So because of the last four is...
The last treasurer.
Yes. Like us, we have to pay those additional fines.
Well, in your instance,
you would have been receiving... every situation is different.
Mm-hmm.
But because you still own the property, if you had sold the property 3 years ago, you wouldn't be sitting here. The buyer of the property would be sitting here.
Right.
And maybe not. But the buyer of the property would have come in and said, here, and I can check land records, and Kevin knows how to do that now. What I do is if someone said, I bought this property such and such, after one or two or three of those tax years were due, and they bought it, then we go away. We don't charge them. We can't force them to pay. So the letter goes out, they prove in that instance that they purchased the property after these taxes were due. But because you still own the property and you didn't sell it, then because you received the tax bill and didn't pay it, you have to pay.
Right, and I want to do the right thing. It's just that,
So what is your situation?
Well, my situation mostly is that I've already paid the interest, the penalties, and the taxes. You should have received a certified letter. But my complaint has to do with...
I understand.
What, do you want me to go broke?
I need cash for my car.
No, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
I guess I feel like, first of all, and I'm not a lawyer, but I got four letters in one envelope, and I'm paying $125 per letter.
Explain to me, mm-hmm. When did you buy your property?
I've been living here 18 years.
Right.
I've been paying my taxes,
why didn't you pay the tax bill when you received the tax bill?
Because I called somebody. Well, I sent the check, and they didn't cash it. And after
was that the check for 1 year?
No, it was just the 2016, I want to say 2016. So that's when I refinanced.
Right.
And so when I got that, I don't remember getting the bill before that. But I got it, and I thought, when they said I had to start, because I had to start paying my own taxes with this refinancing. So I paid my yearly taxes at the end of the year, which I'd never done before. When I talked to her, I sort of thought, this must be in with that, is what I was...
How long ago was that conversation?
It was in with this woman on the board. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, most likely.
That probably had to be 2016.
It probably would have been the city clerk.
Yeah, she would have been sitting on this board, though.
Yeah.
But why would she be calling a commissioner?
I got on the internet and just...
But that would have been for 1 year. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Yes,
with you.
Go ahead.
You called 1 year and they said, okay, don't worry about that 1 year.
Yeah, and then when I got
it...
She
thought it was paid by a resto company.
I thought it was being paid by the...
I'd rather, get out here earlier than... I don't care. We'll waive the fees, all right?
She's already paid.
I haven't paid the legal fees.
Oh.
You paid the tax.
But I was okay with paying like one legal fee I guess I was arguing the fact that I had to pay.
Want to flip a coin all or nothing?
All right.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
So you think I screwed up? I should have said, I'm going to pay you. You can't lose me.
What you're supposed to say is just don't tell your neighbors how nice you are.
Don't tell your damn neighbors.
Steve.
You guys
they showed up.
It's not a swear word. It's an acceptable word. It's in shape.
That's pretty good for 2 hours. Usually the city meetings last for 2 hours, so you've made money tonight for 2 hours.
I haven't made any money tonight.
No, they have. All right. Okay.
Let me get signed.
Damn it, and how many years from now?
I don't know if I want to sign this.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Did you like our letter we sent with the bills? Anyhow. All right. Is there anything else that anybody wants to bring up? Okay. Well, we can move along. The next thing on here after citizen participation is the city meeting minutes for January 21st of 2020. Has everybody... I know there was some passing back and forth what we wanted for corrections, but I think we started back at where we started at. So, do I hear, is there anything that you all found after? Okay. Do I hear a motion to accept the minutes?
Motion made.
Thank you. Thank you. First by Commissioner Beville, second by Commissioner Campbell. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? It's unanimous. Okay. City financial reports. Such a lovely job you do. Everybody get their financial reports. Find any mistakes?
I didn't get a copy.
Huh?
Was that supposed to print it at home?
It's on the net, yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. What I looked at was fine.
All right. Is there a motion to accept the financial reports for January?
I made that motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. Do I hear a second?
A second.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? All right, it's unanimous. All right, we've got the approval sheet going around somewhere, but I haven't gotten it back yet.
But could we add Billy Miner's invoice? I have it here.
Just write it at the bottom.
Just write it. Okay, I'll write it at the bottom because.
And then Beth can send me a new cover that I can put on the net, on the web page.
Well, I don't have to write it on here.
You got to put it on there so everybody can initial.
Okay.
All right. Was that on the last email with all these? No.
Because it's my fault because I didn't send it.
All right.
I sent it.
Okay. Well, we'll move along here while Commissioner Campbell fixes the expense sheet. And because on this, what we do, this was what one of the things that we weren't doing before. This was one of the things that really disturbed me. We weren't actually getting to see all the expenses. All we were getting at the time was a financial sheet, and up until July of 2016, we weren't seeing the bank statements. They were just putting a financial report in front of us and expecting everybody to approve it. And
that's exactly what we've been going through with our last board.
Okay. All right. So this was one of the things that we corrected at the beginning of January of last year. Now we see all the bills, and we also have a number of different things that we get the financial statements, we get the bank accounts, we get anything that has to do with money, so that we know nothing's happening. Also, there's two of us that always goes to the mailbox. So we have a log. We have a log we sign, and any checks that come in get logged. So we put a lot more security on our stuff.
We're trying to.
I understand.
We don't pay for the inside of the room.
Huh?
Is that all right?
Huh? What?
I mean, the initial on the road. Does
it matter which column?
Somebody initialed on the wrong row. You can see this.
I just didn't want to get an email and have somebody say, I'll fix it later in the week.
I remember you from back in the day.
I will.
Yeah, we've had to uproot our last board.
Yeah, you got a good president over there now. He quit. I'll have to give him a call. He didn't tell me he quit. Yeah. Did Jim take over?
No, we haven't necessarily elected. There's only four of us now, and. But she, as our last board was just doing us very dirty. So, but he kind of had a disagreement with a couple other board members about how our fees have been figured wrong since I've lived there. And
do you do our own square footage?
Yes, we do. And well, our past board didn't.
Oh, that's right.
And they weren't paying their condo fees and collecting salaries. And Lord knows who knows what else they were doing. But they would never give us anything. And I went to all the board meetings. And
is this HOA still in the public?
They are required to do an audit. They're required to do an audit, whatever, 5 years or something.
They did, that we know of.
Who was they?
The previous administration.
We did.
I don't mean the city. I mean,
no.
You should talk to an attorney.
Yeah, well, we.
Okay, it's Steve's area now. Okay, now wait a minute. I want to skip over that premium tax on this because that's new business. Okay. Status on the city orders. We've done the thank you letters for 4514 and 4516 Mecklenburg Court. We have to still have the situation for 12205 Jonelle Court. Last week when I went over there, I'm not taking your time, Steve. I'm just
I was going to ask you this.
I took more pictures. Nothing's changed. So that's why they have more than enough time, and I think it's time to move with taking action.
Okay, a couple things, if I may comment.
Go ahead.
With this new information, and if Bob was the only one who did this, he should be commended. If other people involved, they should be commended, because it's beautiful art. I mean, one of the problems was a sight line that you have to imagine going through a big tree, but I can't. They resolved it. So, and I think that we need to make one more effort to go to them and say, look, give them that information and say, you've got to move the shed. And I think there's a swimming pool, above ground swimming pool, that they are, I don't know if they're in compliance or not.
But they don't have a fence back there. And it doesn't have any water, it probably doesn't have any water in it. Okay?
But I would recommend to do it one more time, because I'm telling you, I'm losing money representing the city. I'm backed up on my other work, and I'm busy all the time, but I do a lot of pro bono work for people. Sometimes people can't afford to pay me. I'll do it pro bono because I hate injustice. But I've lost money in the city for a long time because of the acrimony that existed before with these tax letters and all that. For the record, I paid Bev over $500 to prepare the tax letters and send them out. I paid for the envelopes. I paid for the postage. And that's what I agreed to do. But I can't afford to go into court and litigate cases. I handle all of the foreclosure actions. I prepare answers. I prepare counterclaims. I prepare cross claims. I appear in court. I'm losing money there. And there's a lot of foreclosures. But I can't go into court and file a declaration of right action for what I'm being paid. So that's why I would like you to try to resolve it with the Millers and go to them and just say, please get this done, because I think that they might do it. But if I start filing actions instead of, when I'm in a foreclosure action, when someone forecloses on a piece of property, the plaintiff is typically mortgage companies. They have to do a title exam. And then the title exam reveals who has an interest in that property. Typically, tax liens, judgment liens, they all have to be named a party defendant because they have a right to come in and collect their money. So I'm never the plaintiff in those cases. The plaintiff is the lender who is foreclosing, or a judgment lien holder who's foreclosing, or whatever. And I do that, and I've been doing it for years at a loss because it's a lot of secretarial time, it's a lot of other time. But for me to initiate an action on a declaration of right actions, I'm not doing it for what I'm being paid. So be mindful that my hourly rate, if my hourly rate isn't from $250 for 10 or 12 years, I haven't raised it. Other attorneys for this type of work are charging $300 an hour. But that's why I want you to take another crack at getting these Millers to do it. And then if you want to file an action, I'll keep track of my time. It's going to be a filing fee, it's going to be court appearances, it's going to be discovery, and all of that stuff. I'm not doing it for what I make. I'm not doing it. I've lost money. I haven't made a nickel. It's cost me money to represent the city for the last 6 years because of all the acrimony that existed and everything. I mean, you know, I'm out here. It takes me 20 minutes to get here, 20 minutes to go home. The meetings usually take 2 hours. And all of the stuff I do at my office, drafting ordinances, amending ordinances, calling people on the phone. I want to keep truck managers in the city because I've been it since 1982. I like it. I like getting the money every month, but I am losing money. For me to initiate a lawsuit, I'm going to have to get paid for it. And you're not going to find another attorney out there that knows the city as well as I do that's going to do this for the money that I do it. They're going to come to me. I'm going to give them all the files. I'm going to tell them what's the deal. You know, I'm going to tell them this is what you need to charge them. This is what you need to do. I don't want to leave the city, but I just can't continue to work like this. So if you want to file a lawsuit, that's fine. I don't want to get paid for it. So I would take another crack at them. If you don't want to do that, then tell me to file a lawsuit and I'll do it.
Well, just, can you just send a letter saying this is your last?
No, I think that who's ever in charge of that, the commissioner, needs to go out there and show them.
The commissioners do not confront property owners, period. That is not what we do.
You've been doing it for years.
No, it doesn't mean we're supposed to.
Bob, you've been involved with Lavon Williams on a tax claim that she sends me a letter and tells you that no tax claim has ever been recorded on her property. I get daily emails from this woman, and you're backing her up, and then she says, I have an attorney. And then I tell you and her, I can't talk to her because she has an attorney. You call me up and say, why not? Because it's unethical for me to talk to anybody who has an attorney. So I still get emails from her. Why are you intervening on behalf of Jacqueline Williams?
She called me up. Okay. I did not support her.
She's a liar, and I don't care dealing with her anymore. I'm not dealing with her because she said I had an attorney. But I think there's been all kinds of people, commissioners over the years, that have gone up to tell people that your gutter's falling down and stuff.
How many times?
I mean, that's what they're supposed to do.
That's what we're getting paid for.
That's what you do.
That's what we're getting paid for.
To say that a commissioner can't.
No, you should not. They call us. Okay. In this case, Ms. Williams called me. She gave me the information. She had not been getting return phone calls. So I just asked Steve to call her back.
And I do, and she's rude. She says, I've never had a tax lien recorded on my property. I checked, she's got 4 or 5
tax liens. Okay, all right.
She's a liar.
Okay.
Because I've dealt with problems with people who have called me, as utilities commissioner, my
My garbage didn't get picked up. What happened? The recycling people didn't come back. And I just go over to, you know, I was there with Trent. Tell me the situation. I go over to their house. I look at them face to face. This is what happened. Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry. Sure, let me see if I can't get that worked out for you.
That's
I feel like, excuse me, I have the floor. I feel like
you won't recognize.
That's what you people as the taxpayers pay me to do. I earn my money.
You do not approach the person. The person called you first.
Beg pardon?
The person called you first. Okay? I'm not going on knocking on a door telling the person they got to move the fence. Okay? You send them a letter, they do it or they don't do it.
Are you telling me that no one has ever met any of the people that were involved with this easement? Which is really crazy because it was a school easement. Nothing was wrong with that. I mean, my God, there is no real purpose in doing all the stuff that we've been doing.
I've often wondered that myself.
Because
is how much land have we gained and all the money that we've spent?
The acrimony, the time and effort that I've done over and this ideally thing that, by God, there's an easement there and we're going to get these people off of it. It's never been used as an easement.
Because it's been locked up.
Bob, who's going to use it? Who's ever tried to
it? Doesn't matter. It
doesn't
look,
matter because you think that everything.
Steve, if you don't like working for the city, right, then I would recommend you find something.
You know, it's a vote right here. If you want to put it to a vote right now, you can put a vote to me to fire my ass.
I'm giving you the opportunity to resign. I don't want to fire you.
Resign?
What?
I'm not resigning.
Well, what's your language down there?
I would agree with you, Steve, that they had not. They've been contacted for a year now. Right. They're playing games with us.
Right.
Okay. And the reality is.
But I want to get back to the point that no one. I want to know if anybody has met any of these people on the East Coast.
Yes.
Up there
yes. Yes. It started all the way back to when. What was the meeting?
So why did you do that if you're not supposed to do that?
She met with us and under the auspices of a meeting at what was that? It was
on the
store.
Yeah.
Somebody
no,
wanted
on,
to create.
No, it was on a the
public
community
yeah.
watch.
Right. Right. Someone put out on Nextdoor that they wanted to create a community watch, and she was the only person that showed up. Bob and I were there, and it was brought up then. So she was personally involved with it, and she's been to this meeting.
It's absurd to think that a commissioner can't, if there's a gutter hanging down, and the officer's ready to cite him for a hanging gutter, it's the duty of the commissioner to go up and say, if you fix the gutter, you're not going to be cited. You're not going to go downtown. You're not going to come before the board of whatever board we put up.
I agree with that.
I mean, I
agree
with
that.
Yeah. If someone's house is on fire, you go up and say, get the hell out of the house is on fire.
That's different.
Well, it isn't different.
Again, she's had ample opportunity, her and her husband. I mean, they're just playing games. I mean,
well, if you want me to file a lawsuit, you can pay me. If you don't want me to represent you, you can take a vote tonight or any other meeting. All right?
What I just say about your language, Steve.
I'm sorry. You know, that's the way I feel.
All right.
If you want to take a vote, I'll sit here. I'll walk out in the hallway.
No, no. Right. If you want to resign,
I'm
resign.
Not resigning.
Okay. All right. All right. We'll move along from there. We'll deal with it later. Okay. Rental registration and the vacant house registration. We've got the letters going out tomorrow, right, Ben?
They went out today.
They went
out
today?
Are we through with Steve's area or are we moving on?
We're moving on.
Okay, so we're on old business. All right, thank you. Yes, the letters went out today.
Okay.
Giving them until March 2nd to pay. I'm sorry, not pay. To register their rental property or their vacant property. It's just a simple form. Add on our website that you fill in the blank. It costs nothing, and we've asked these people over and over and over to do it, and they haven't done it. So, in the ordinance, it does say that we can charge them a fee per day if they don't do it. So now these letters are giving them till March 2nd. I also sent them a blank if they wanted to write on it and mail it back to me if they didn't want to go online. And the fines will start on March 16th if they don't fill it out by March 2nd.
Okay.
Is this a certain neighborhood that is, or is it all?
It's all of Worthington Hills.
It's all Worthington Hills.
If we know that there's a rental house, we'd like to know who lives there.
Okay.
Who's supposed to be living there.
We need to know this.
The home address of the actual owner. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's just general information like that.
Yeah, we picked up on a bunch of names because the tax bills weren't going to the property address, they were going someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
And also, every rental property within Jefferson County is supposed to be registered with Louisville. And Louisville won't let loose of the information. And we've been trying to make sure that we can contact the owner of the property because we have rentals that really need to be improved upon. Okay? So if you got I know the homeowner association has got some rental properties over there, so
we only allow five.
This is helpful. Our my community, my HOA, a lot because we just recently amended our master deed to put a cap on rentals, and this helps us keep up with when somebody sells a property, they can't rent it. The new buyer cannot rent it.
If they're grandfathered in, they can continue to do it, but if they sell their property, the new owner cannot rent that property. And having these people being able to say
you've got to have this rental thing filled out, then we can say no, you can't rent it.
Alright, moving on to old business. Street lighting update.
I have an update.
Good. Thank you.
Louisville Gas and Electric put in a work order on January the 28th, and they're going to start installing as soon as they get a crew available. They're going to start installing the new six brand new street lights that we're getting in the city of Worthington Hills. So some of these courts that are so dark, I can't see the bottom of them. They're going to be lit up now.
Good
I'm real pleased to report that. Something else that we've been back and forth about are the water bills. And this cross-connection fee that we get. And what I want to tell you all, this is what I have found out. Now, first off, I don't know if y'all know about backflow, but think of yourself as drinking through a straw. You suck something up through that straw. You swallow it. What happens to what's in that straw? Where does it go?
It goes back down
in your glass. That's what a cross-connection thing prevents. It prevents, if somebody comes up and they hook their a fire hose up onto one of our fire hydrants, and they suck all that water through that fire hydrant and keep it on and keep it on and keep it on until that fire is put out, and they take that hose, you know, they turn that water off, it's going to flow back into that water main, that water system, if they don't have that cross-connection apparatus on there. Okay. There is actually a Metro Louisville ordinance which says, to protect the public supply from contamination, a backflow prevention assembly approved by the Louisville Water Company shall be installed on all commercial, industrial, fire, and irrigation services. So the Louisville Water Company implemented this cross-connection, which means it keeps water that's fit for human consumption and water that isn't fit for human consumption from merging. They put together this program. It's required by federal law, it's required by state law, it's required by the city law. We're required to have it. And this $8.20 or $0.16 charge that we get on our bill for the three islands, this cross connection charge, is what our contribution is to maintain that program.
We can't not pay it. We have to pay it. We are required by all these different laws to pay that cross connection fee, and that's what it's for. So I hope that we did get an increase. They increased the rate, the water rate per 1,000 gallons by 2 cents. They raised it 2 cents. Per 1,000 gallons, so there is an increase. Our cross connection fee is calculated by how many gallons of water. Excuse me, no, not how many gallons. How many days we use the water. So it'll vary from month to month. Some months have 32 days or 31 days. Some have 30, some have 29, February has 29. So it's based on that. And so does anybody have any more questions about the cross-connection fee? Because if they don't, I'm going to put this bad boy to bed.
So it's a fee for having it.
Beg your pardon?
It's just a fee for having it.
I didn't hear you.
A fee for having the cross-connection. It's a backflow provider for this.
We don't have a choice. We have to have it.
But it has nothing to do with maintaining it or checking it. Or, in other words, it's not service. It's just a fee for having it.
It's a fee. No, they do come out and check it. They come out and make sure that it's working.
Actually, we pay the irrigation system to check it.
That's what you pay the $300 for the... That's just like over there where I live. We pay Worthington Hills Fire Department, because we're no longer in the Worthington Hills Fire Department District. We're in Anchorage now. But we pay them once a year to come over and check our fire hydrants and make sure that the cross-connection fee is working like it's supposed to. So that's...
Well, if our water's turned off to our irrigation system...
You're not going to have a water bill. You'll have a cross-connection charge the next 2 months, but you will have zero, because I checked today, and we have zero water consumption.
Tax. Okay, there's nothing you can do about it though.
I'm sorry?
I said it's a tax, but there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, to have it, you have to pay the fee.
That's what I've been saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fine. All right. What about the light poles?
The what?
Yes.
They turned the light off, the one over there on Caswell that we've been paying for. We've been paying for a light that wasn't even in the city limits since 1991. Well, that's up to somebody. That is out of my pay grade. Getting a refund from them.
Is that a street light or
it was a pole light? Because I called and I said, "What is?" Because I was trying to get the different rate types, trying to figure out, and she said, "Well, it's for this wooden pole." I said, "We don't have any wooden poles." She said, "Yes, you do." "No, we don't." And comes to find out, it was outside of the city limits. And then I got a landline call from LG&E, and they said, "We're getting ready to replace the pole at 4818 Middlesex Drive because somebody ran into it. We got to replace the whole thing. We're going to have to replace it with a LED light, which is going to cost you a little bit more, you know, to start out with." And I said, "Tell me that address again." And she did. And I said, "That's not in City of Worthington Hills. That's in Cole Street."
Right.
So what I asked and what they're doing is that they're doing an audit, and they're going to match up each street. We have a collective account, but in that collective account are sub-account numbers. And they're going to match up each street with the account number that it belongs to. So that way, we're not paying for something over in Oakhurst or who knows where.
Are they going to rebate you?
Over by the Ford truck plant or something like that.
Are they going to give you the money back that you paid over the years?
Beg pardon?
Are they going to reimburse the city for the charges that they charge us for poles that were not in the city?
I don't know.
Steve, this is, if you didn't get that email or didn't see it, she actually sent a PDF of a copy where the...
I didn't read it, Bob, so that's why I'm asking the question. If I had read
the original person that signed it wasn't even a city person, and then they changed it.
It was a real estate agent who
right.
Who was selling this
Just row of buying
plans? No, she was selling this row of condo, row of townhouses. And what she did on the contract with LG&E, she scratched through the address of the townhouse owner and put City of Worthington Hills. And nobody ever said.
Wow.
Nobody ever said.
God bless you, Linda. That's a lot of work. God bless you.
So, you know, I just...
Okay.
But like I said, they're going to do it. They're doing an audit, and then that way, if there are other lights that we shouldn't be paying for, you know, I just...
Yeah, we'll get the list, and then we'll sit down and talk with Steve.
But if someone gave informed LG&E that it was in the city, then I think as to that poll, you're it's gone because they just relied upon somebody's.
I think LG&E is ultimately responsible for verifying that a light pole is in their city or in their
right.
Belongs to, well, it belongs to who it belongs to.
Did you check this current bill to see if they took it off?
It has been taken off.
Okay.
And you have to remember, too, our light bills are going to fluctuate because, obviously, the lights are going to come on a lot sooner mm-hmm. now than they are in August. Mm-hmm. You know, so our light bills are going to fluctuate. You're not going to see a great big $100 difference yeah. because they took a light or two lights off the bill.
No, I just want to make sure that taken off.
But, yeah, they...
We'll get the audit down. We'll sit down with Steve and see where we go with this.
Yeah, on this one particular bill, there was a difference of, like, well, $13, which is what it costs for, like, one light bulb.
Yeah.
You
know, it's not a usage bill, right? We're billed based on the number of poles, I think, is how they bill us.
No, it's based on it's a collective account and like they're not metered. It's
based off of the, how soon the sun comes up and goes down.
Exactly. They're on these electric eyes.
They know what the usage is per bulb. Yeah.
So and that's something else about the water bill. Let me share with you all. Y'all be glad that we don't live up on the hill because the water company will charge you an extra 39 cents per 1,000 gallons of water if they have to pump it uphill.
Really?
Oh, I never knew that.
Yes.
Oh.
So, anything else y'all wonder about?
I just look at you.
Okay. Good job, Linda.
Yeah.
See how much you learn when you become a commissioner. Okay.
Well, I mean, these are our tax money.
Oh, I am. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, I don't like paying for something I don't.
It's remarkable how much was paid for in this city in the past that was never watched.
Right. Yeah. It's not going to happen anymore.
Yeah.
All right. Spring A Hunt.
Ta-da! This is our new chairman of our Spring A Hunt.
Are you going to do the Spring A Hunt?
Yeah. What the hell.
Okay, good. I'm glad we... Can you get some more volunteers? Because I...
We need to have a square jar, I guess. Every time I'm out,
I apologize. I took 4 days off.
I was just about ready to say, we don't have to volunteer by next month.
I have a brother who's unraveling mentally. So I'll be back. I've been dealing with him the last 2 days. I haven't slept, and I had to commit him to the hospital. So that's why I'm irritable, is because of my brother, and I'm... So that's why. And I wouldn't have acted that way. But
well, I was going to ask if anybody had a pair of needle nose pliers so we could get the briar out of Steve's butt.
All right. The digital audio recorder is on. All right. Okay. So we got back. Okay, so
Millie's
going to take it over. You got anybody you can work with?
And if anybody knows, there are a lot of young people that have moved into the area. And my little area, I've been there 43 years, and it's just kind of static. The same people still live around me, and I don't know any some of the younger people, but it's... You have a name,
a number. Yes, I will definitely. I've got Nellie's number. Yeah,
good. You have
no. And we do have young some young families back in our area, and
we
I will definitely mention as the next board member.
Yeah.
At the next board meeting.
Great.
I will, because I'm on their on the board of my council, so I most definitely will.
Yeah, we got to get the gas on that so we can get the word out.
Well, the word's on. It's on the
website. We're going to meet at my house, and we'll stuff eggs, and we'll just do all this kind of fun stuff. And you're welcome.
Okay, don't buy a lot of food.
No, it's not going to be the food. It's just going to be, I've got my ideas. Gotcha. All right. So we finally got a volunteer. That's good. Thank you, Millie. All right. We need to. We also need not forget. We're still looking for the fall celebration. Also, we're going to be looking for. We need that's on the website. Also, requesting volunteers. That's going to be a bigger event. So we need to
really.
They
have that blow up thing.
Huh?
They will have that blow up thing. You know, that you talk to kids into.
We can't.
Yeah, you can. If you take them up, right?
And you make a suggestion.
Doesn't allow it.
Right. Go ahead.
Okay. If Millie does a really great job in the spring, we can make a chairman.
I didn't say that, Millie. Okay. All right. Any other projects anybody want to bring up? All right.
Did we ever decide if we're going to have the welcome wagon lady?
No.
We can't get anybody to do that either.
Millie will do it.
I'm not kidding. I just need a little help on getting some stuff together. If y'all can do that, I can go around it. And if I can get a list, I'll go around. Okay, no. Here you go. Welcome wagon.
Well, I should probably get your list for new people. Yeah, we're compromising some kind of like little pamphlet to hand to our new owners.
You know, you want to know restaurants and banks and dog
ours
drawers.
Ours are about
and
condo.
Yeah,
that kind of stuff. Because
I don't know about baby stuff because I'm not sure.
But that's a good idea.
We always need to welcome wagon people. They used to do it when I was first married. Well, it was really nice.
We're done with Steve.
Like,
oh, well, that's new business. That starts a new business.
What about the second
year
of tax
work?
It's that second. We aren't going to do the tax. We're not going to do the second reading on a property tax ordinance yet.
Okay, all right.
Okay?
That's fine. I'm sorry, I didn't know that.
No, I didn't want to do it yet because I'm waiting for the numbers from PDA. Right. It'll probably be next month. You know, no, I'm sorry, Steve.
I mean, I'm just
all right. I'm sorry. But we are going to do this other one now.
Okay.
Because we're up to new business. Okay. Before we go any farther, we got a couple of things we need to bring up. Not knowing what Louisville's going to do. Remember last year, they tried to up the insurance premium tax? Okay. Problem is that if they do this, Louisville has two city meetings a month, okay? So they could do a primary read at the first one and do a second one and make this March 23rd cutoff date. Our next city meeting is the 17th of March, I think. Yeah. Okay. And so what I'm recommending we do is do a first read on a insurance property tax, taking it up to 10%, okay?
From
6%. Just the primary read, okay? So that next month, we'll know by our next city meeting if they're going to try and pull that again. Because here's the thing. If we don't increase our tax to match theirs, okay, then they will get anything over and above what we're collecting. So if we're collecting 6 now and they move theirs to 10, they will get 4% from our city taxpayers.
They'll capture the difference.
They seem serious about the 10%. I read it on the website and they are pretty.
Are they trying to?
Yeah.
Okay. So this was one reason why I wanted to do the first read on this, because we're one step ahead. Because if they pass it for any reason, then we need to move it up, because the last thing we want to do is have tax revenue going down to Louisville from our taxpayers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So That's the reason for doing this. Not trying to raise taxes, but if Louisville's going to try and take it, we already know Louisville doesn't provide us squad. Okay, we get minimal police control. We get no garbage, nothing from them. Okay, we don't even get snow removal. So it's best that we keep the money in the town. Okay, so that's the reason for this first read on the insurance premium tax. It's just a preliminary because it takes two reads to put an ordinance in. Okay?
I'd like to point out that I amended this pursuant to Bob's idea. And I did it as to, and there were two elements of the original tax that goes back to 2005, I think. But the first time I amended this, I only amended the life insurance, and then Bob pointed out correctly that there was another component, which was a tax on all policies that were not life. Okay, so I fixed that. So
I've got copies of it.
Within this ordinance, we're amending two ordinances. The first one is amending ordinance number 2.
Let me get them copies out here.
You have the one that I changed.
I changed. Remember, I sent you back the correction.
Yeah, but then I corrected that.
Oh, you corrected that. Well, here's my correction, and they can just follow along with my correction, okay?
Maybe it's right. No, that's the same thing I have here. All right, that's
okay. That one?
Okay.
Okay, everybody got a copy over there on the commission? I didn't make copies for the audience, because this is just the first read. Are you ready?
Yeah. So anyway, we're amending the first part is the life. So we're amending ordinance 2, series 15, section 2 from 6%, and the ordinance says that you have to put it in brackets and put a line through it, and then shall be amended. You have to recite the same language, but then you underline the new percentage rate, so it's going to 10, and then I'm paraphrasing here. The second part, as Bob pointed out to me, was ordinance number, series number 2, 14, section 3, which, as to all other policies, non-life was 6, and then you'll see below that shall be amended to read 10%. So that's the proposal. And the timing is such that you can monitor what the city of Louisville is doing, and then we can amend this. We can make this read whatever we want the next time.
Right.
The percentage rates can change. But anyway, there it is.
Okay. Thank you very much. Next thing on new business is the budget message. That's your old copies. I've got another this one. I've given too many. How many's down there? Did you get an extra
one? I got an extra one.
Okay, I need that one. Alright, somebody got a folded one. Alright. And then I have anybody that wants one in the audience, you can come up and pick one up if you want. All right. This is something you have to do with every budget. The mayor has to give a budget message. So I put mine together this year. The city commission's primary budget objective is to generate enough revenue to pay invoices submitted to the city commission as they become due during the 2021 fiscal year. There is no significant change to last year's financial policy. The most important budget line items for fiscal year 2021 are security, garbage collection, property maintenance, and road maintenance. The most significant budget line item changes are, okay, number one, the projected property tax revenue should increase without the city commission having to make a change in the tax rate. The past year, the city resident properties which were sold or refinanced have increased in value. This factor should be reflected in the Jefferson County PBA's real estate listed value, and the increase should be just enough to keep us below the 4% cap on property tax revenue increase, which is within the limits permitted by KRS 132.027, paragraph 3A. If it's over, as it was in 2017, we'll need to decrease the city's property tax to stay within the statute's limit. Number two, the city's commission should attempt to cease using carryover funding, which is the city's unused tax revenue or rainy day funds. This line item was added in 2018 in order to balance a budget and cover the cost of completing our delinquent city audits for fiscal years 2015, 2016, and 2017. There's a number three. There's a substantial decrease in the total operating expense since we should be up to date with our city audits as of July 1, 2020. As a final item, our media expense item may need to be increased. The Kentucky revised statute regarding legal notice postings in newspapers was passed in 2018, but is sunsetted and goes away on July 1st, 2020. If the new bill replacing it, which is House Bill 195, if it doesn't pass or get signed into law, I mean, it could pass and then the governor could veto it, okay? Our proposed no change to the per adjourn expense will need to be increased. Respectfully submitted, Mayor Robert Stone. Okay? On the back is the ordinance. Steve's not in here. This is the ordinance be ordained by the City Warden of the Hills that Section 1 in accordance with KRS 91A.030, paragraph 10, City Warden of the Hill, Kentucky does hereby ordain fiscal year 2021 budget ordinance as follows. And the revenues are on there. I've got the breakdown, which I'm going to pass around now. Okay. This is the preliminary proposed amounts. Okay. Again, anybody in the audience wants to see it, it's right there. Okay. When you're looking at that, when you're looking at the breakdown on this, let me finish up on the ordinance. This ordinance shall be effective July 1st, 2020 by signing and publication as required by law. And then I'm looking to try and pass this on or before the 16th of June. 16th of June is our last city meeting before fiscal year 2021 starts, which is July 1st. So this is for us to work with. This is our worksheet right here, okay? The one that's got all the color coding on it. I didn't have a color printer. All I got's a laser printer, so I made. If it's dark, it's increased. If it's light, it's decreased, okay? Yeah, dark is increased. Light is the black with the white writing is increased numbers, and the gray with the white is the decrease in numbers. And as you can see, decrease the audit fees to $8,000, okay? Because I'm hoping, here again, is I'm hoping that we have 19 done at the June meeting. That's what I'm going to press Roy to do, okay? So that when we go in, we need. Well, while I got you, do you all want to do a full audit like we've been doing for the 2020? We can do. Here's what it is, and this is why I'm asking this question, because that number is going to change based off what we decide to do with 2020's our fiscal year reporting. We can take and do an audit, or we can do a financial statement. Now, the state has made financial statements just as difficult as audits. Okay? So we can waive doing the audit, or waive doing the financial statement and submit an audit. And if we did do the financial statement, when it comes to having to do the audit for 2021, they have to go back through 2020 anyhow. So it's just, I want you all to think about that. So that we, my opinion is, and I'm going to work with Roy trying to negotiate, okay? If we're doing such a good job and with our books, it shouldn't be, you know, our costs should be pretty reasonable, okay? To me, it's easier just to do the audit and keep just doing audits every year.
Because I'd like to see an audit from the whole year that I've commissioned has been, I think that would be very valuable, because even the one that's coming up is going to only be half of it.
Right. So, anyhow, I just want to bring that up, because I know what this next audit, they're charging $7,000 again. That's just normal. This is what we've been paying. There was one year where we paid $8,000, and that was when they had a really bad, I think, well, I don't remember which year it was, but they had a lot of different things that they had to write up, I think, that way. So
if we did the financial statement, would it not reflect all that anyway?
And they still have to go in and check all the.
No, but I'm saying that when technically we're doing a financial statement anyway, right?
Yeah.
If you listen to them, it's not any extra work for Dan, right? It's not something above and board beyond what we're already doing.
Well, if we do a financial statement, we don't have to use the auditors.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And in the following year, they audit both years essentially.
Yeah.
For the same amount of money.
No.
Oh, they bill you for both years. Gotcha. Okay.
I don't know, that's
the important fact I missed.
I don't know if they would make it hit $7,000 a year. I don't know if they charge $14,000, but they're definitely not going to charge $7,000 a year.
No, I got you. Okay.
No, they're
not.
Even if
it's not that much work, they're just not. CPAs don't think that way.
I know that.
2 years, they're going to charge $14,000.
I understand.
We'll probably still end up paying $10,000 at least. So.
Yeah, no, so there's no real savings there. Might as well do it.
No, and the other thing is like I said, if you looked at the. You can go out on the DLG website, and they have the report where you can pull it up to see what they want reported. You know what? I looked at it, and my head started spinning. I said, I don't want to fool with this, but maybe, you know, I don't want to put Dan through it either. I mean, even Mr. Hoagland, like, true, he's the auditor, but Mr. Hoagland actually said, if you're doing that financial report the way they did it, you know, the way they made the change in the law, he says, you might as well be doing an audit. That's how bad it is.
So do we have to vote on that?
Not right now.
Yeah.
I just wanted to bring it up for something to talk or think about on this on this audit material. Okay?
Okay.
Or not the audit, the proposal. I gave you this. This is the breakdown. I will send you a Excel spreadsheet that this comes off of. Okay? Carol, yours is in the back here. Okay?
So
yours is on page 2.
$87,000
is going to come out of that,
so if you go to the...
Right. Yeah, I didn't have those numbers. When I did this, I did not know about that. I've had this for a month, so... But those numbers are going to change.
I think we're in pretty good shape, though. The roads, they seem...
Right.
We'll just accumulate our money.
Right. Okay. All right, so I'll tell Steve we did the first read. It's on tape anyhow.
Okay.
Is there anything else in new business you all want to talk about? I think I covered everything.
I had something come up this afternoon. Maybe I can just talk with you about it afterwards. There is a great cover, 20 by 23, over in the Trice condos that is missing. Well, it's not missing. It's down. So we have a hole. I mean, I can jump in that hole. It is just black. And
that's MSD.
No, it's not MSD, because I spent 2 hours on that this afternoon, and Mary Summers deserves a raise. She was wonderful. She kept calling me back. She said, I'm going to send MSD anyway as a courtesy to put up lights. But when I checked on the way back over here, and they were not up yet. But
is it on the side?
It is on Caswell, on the right-hand side of building 11909.
And why does she say it's not their responsibility?
I know that she even called the supervisor. Anyway, she said, she gave me a website. If I go on the website, she said, you can get a great cover from the same people that, like, if they're vendors that we, the MSD, buys theirs from.
It's missing?
It is down in, but I don't know if it's broken. But if you look down in, you can see it. But this is a hole, 20, 23 by 20. And like I said,
If the grate covers down there and it's in one piece,
they can just pull it up.
They can just pull it up
and put a 200-pound piece of
grate. That's what I told them, and I don't think they're going to do it because I said if they come to do the lights, I said if somebody will just get it and some kind of a hook that you can snag it, but it's number one, it's dangerous.
Oh, I know it's dangerous.
Dangerous.
But it's not MSC's responsibility. Let me put it this way: being the road commissioner for 4 years, okay, they came out and fixed at least 2 street runoffs. Now I don't know if they're considering that as being on Trace Condo's property. And that's the reason why they're not coming out?
She pulled it up and said it's private. I said, but it's on Caswell. It's on Caswell. It's not back in the parking. It's on Caswell, and it's not on the building side. It's across by the berm. I argued, and she was a nice woman.
Okay, she said it was on private property.
She said it's private. She said,
but remember, remember the what we decided when we were talking about long time when we first started, and we were talking about who was going to take care of that roadway, that the statute that says if a city has maintained it for a certain number of years, then the city owns it. It becomes the city's property. Remember back when you told me from the very first meeting that the city of Worthington Hills is no longer going to maintain that roadway back there?
We maintain it. I mean, we help pave. You gave us a gift because we didn't have to pave.
No, but we paved it. The condominium association paid to have it paved, have it striped, or have the speed bump painted at no cost to the city. So
that was a gift.
But we didn't know somebody was going to throw that grate down in here when this happened.
How deep's the holes, ladies?
If I jump down in, it'd probably hit me right about here.
Okay. Can you show me on that map where it's at? I'll do it tomorrow.
You can see it. It's probably got a big old bucket.
The bucket's already down. The kids already put the bucket down.
They put the bucket down in there,
yeah.
Too.
It's 11909. So it's the building. 11909. And it's on the Caswell side.
So the question I have is if I have John Rice weld that to shut, is that a problem?
You are allowed to shut. You are allowed to weld them.
We can't top weld them to keep the mayor knuckleheads?
No, because then you get into the problem of some knucklehead getting into it.
Can you get into it if it's welded close on top?
A small child fell down.
You can see it just going right across the street. I mean, you can look at
but
it.
But I'm saying that, so is there any way for water to get into that grate besides going directly through the grate?
Yes.
There's an opening.
On the curb.
Okay, never mind. I was just trying to stop a bunch of dummies, that's all.
So, how are they, because how are they held in place?
They just sit there. They're sit on a ledge.
There's a lift.
So all you've got to do is twist them and they'll fall in. That's all somebody did. But, I mean.
Well, it's 11909. So
yeah, I wrote it down.
Okay, 11909. And it's got yellow tape around.
It's got caution tape
around it.
Our maintenance people, thank you, Harold. I appreciate it. And then somebody went and put that bucket down there. Oh yeah, the kids already put the bucket down. But it's on the curb, you're saying. It's on the curb. Okay, I'll find it. Steve. Yes. It's the one with the top. Oh, I'm sorry, man. I read the budget ordinance in the message while you were out. All right. Okay.
Now the budget ordinance looks like you want to pass this in June. So the first, okay. So you had the first reading tonight?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. We're just, that's the cutoff date. I'll put it that way. We can you know, if we get this budget, once we get the PBA information, we should be able to finish up this budget real quick. Okay. Is there anything else? We're still under 9 o'clock. Y'all want
commissioner's report?
Yes. I just want to make sure there was nothing else in new business before we moved along.
Okay. I'll bring up one thing that's really quick. Down in the flagpole area,
yeah,
we have our nice banner that says City of Worthington Hills.
Yeah.
Well, it's all kind of...
I pulled it up yesterday.
Oh, thank you.
We got to find something pretty in the middle that'll keep it up.
Eddie said something about a bungee cord or something.
It didn't work.
He just constantly always...
Yeah.
And the reason why
better, you, honestly, if it was on a rigid piece of plastic, and you could just suspend it between.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing is you really couldn't mess with it before because it was cold, and no matter you end up ripping that stuff.
Yeah, I straightened it yesterday. I took some pictures for an electrician yesterday and straightened it up.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'm not gonna promise you it's gonna stay straight.
No. So I'm looking to get us. I think I'm gonna get another straight piece of metal, stick it down there behind it.
I don't know if it'll help, but we can try.
All right. Who wants to be the first in the commission report? I always let everybody volunteer.
I got a really short one.
Go ahead.
I did my weekly light checks on 121, 128, 24, and 210. Lights were not working at 4514 Micklenburg at the intersection of Rustburg Place and Rustburg Court. Thank you. And there was a damaged pole at the intersection of Middlesex and Northumberland Drive. They should have replaced that pole yesterday. It was leaning at a 45-degree angle. I didn't put tape around it because the man told me don't even touch it. There could be a line.
Sure.
Right. So there again, the light on Middlesex and the one on Caswell, to my, as far as I know, have been removed from the collected account. I told you all about the water company. I returned 3 phone calls from constituents that had questions about garbage collection, and I did receive a complaint about noise. I contacted, what I did was I used this new link that they have on the Metro 311. You can type in Metro 311 in your search engine, and it will bring up this website, and you can go on here where it says report an issue. It gives you a drop-down box. You put in the address. If it's not in the city of Worthington Hills, it will tell you it's not in the city of Worthington Hills, and it won't let you go any further. And it gives you a whole long list of things to choose from. You type in the problem, it gives you a case number right then and there, and then I just forward it to the taxpayer.
Okay.
And that's all I have
for. All right, thank you, Commissioner DeVille. Next, two votes. Okay, Commissioner Campbell.
Okay, on February 2nd, I was sick. I took pictures of the standing water in the intersection of Northumberland Drive and Bay Run Drive, called MSD, procured an email address, and sent the pictures to them. I followed up with a call on the 14th. MSD gave the case number and was informed it is still open, so it's hopefully we will get that fixed. On the 7th of February, I called Miner and Company and requested that magic salt be applied to the streets due to ice in. On the 17th, I called Safety Toll and sent pictures of the vandalized sign, slow speed bump ahead on Halifax Drive, as well as the graffiti painted on the street, and asked for instructions on cleaning both. They called back and they recommended a 3M product. Will be sending it to me for use on the sign. He had no answer for the graffiti on the roadway except to possibly coat it with a black sealer from Lowe's or Home Depot.
Where was that at?
On Halifax.
Halifax in front of the rental properties.
Paint on the one sign and paint on the street that says, hey, me, with the full word written out.
I can't comment because I'll say something inappropriate and I'll be on tape. So you're the first word. So.
I mean, it'll wear off on the street, but it's like, but he said he would send me the 3M product. He said, yes, 3M product. Evidently, they've changed the graffiti thing. He wanted to know when the sign was. And I sent him the picture, told him it was at least 2 years ago.
Yeah, we put that sign in 2 years ago because I remember because they used to have a different sign there, and they absolutely, that's a brand new graffiti proof sign.
They make them graffiti proof?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. So, but he said he needed to know when it was purchased for the right product.
When you get that, if you have any extra, can I try it on the picnic table?
Oh,
seriously, it's a vinyl coated picnic table. It may help. I couldn't get anything to take it off.
Sure.
Without, I could use stuff that would damage the vinyl.
And I'll send the invoice to Dan. Put that in the product. And you.
And me.
Okay.
Yeah, that was my mistake
because
I had it sent to.
Did you send it to me yet? Oh no, you just
want to. No, I have it. I sent it yesterday, but I.
And
anyway, yeah. So
yeah,
you should have it.
Okay.
If not, I'll send it again.
All right. Who wants to be next?
Which is the post office?
Yeah,
the on Friday.
Okay.
And one Tuesday. I'll read it again.
Thank you.
Went to the post office with Mayor Stoneman on Fridays and one Tuesday. Drove the city multiple occasions. Mayor Stoneman attended the city officials meeting in Prospect. Talked to Mr. Mitchell on Windenburg Court about his parking pad. Talked to a resident on Halifax about his neighbor parking a vehicle in the driveway without permission. Mayor Stoneman went to the storage area one time in the past month. And this is the Denver City activity report from January 21st to February 15th. Parking citations 28, theft deterrent 5, resident complaints 4, traffic stops 19, suspicious vehicle 1, and code regulations and cases open 3. And that's it.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner.
Make it. Sure, we'll pass these around.
Sure. Pass them around. Okay.
I've made one for Steve, so there's going to be an extra. All right. So let me just run through this real quick on what happened this week or this month, and then I'll explain what I'm passing out. 125-20 drove the neighborhood and reported code violations to 311. Did the same thing on 2120. Don Gentry does not like me right now. 2820, I spoke to a lady named Darlene Guin. I think that's the proper pronunciation, G-U-I-N. At 11900 Boynton Court, she had a tree down the river property and wanted to know if it was... There's a drainage ditch there. She thought maybe it wasn't her property. It was her property. She owned it. 2820 returned a call left a message for a lady named Melanie on R1 Court. She left a message to complain about the neighbor that had a toilet on their front porch. I never heard back from her. Apparently, that's a home that 311 is familiar with, so they may have been taken care of. That might be why she didn't call back. So there's a little bit of confusion about this, and I don't know if this is the right time to be doing this or not, but I made a copy for everybody so you'll know what's going on. I introduced all the things that I would like to see done at the last meeting. These are quotes that I got for, you can read it here, I can read it aloud. Front entrance, $525 to trim all the trees like they need to be and remove all the rose bushes. $750 for the flagpole to remove the stump that's there now, plant crepe myrtles, day lilies, add landscape fabric and rock to complete. To complete will be provided. Plants are not included. So, I mean, it just basically breaks down what this company would charge us to do this. So, what I'm basically saying is this. I mean, obviously, you all know that I take care of the green space. It's part of my responsibility. I'm also a property commissioner. So, I can get all of this done for less than this, basically, and stay under
budget. So I just, we're trying to keep everything above board. This is what we're working on, but there's a lot going on here. Tons of stuff being cleaned up on the green space, three trees being removed, lots of trees that are broken off the top that need to be basically cleaned up and hauled off. Boynton Court, remove all the rose bushes, edge the rock beds on the sidewalks. If you've ever been through there, those rocks just kind of spill over into the sidewalk because there's no barrier to stop them. That we're talking about doing that, planting crepe myrtles and daylilies instead of rose bushes. So I have two options there, and I'm open for suggestions. Crepe myrtles come in like a tree type form, and they come in a bush. On Boynton, I want to plant the bush. On Bay Ends, I want to plant the bush. But on Arwine Court, where that island is, I want to plant the tree version. And you can basically cut that crepe myrtle down to the ground, and it will come back every year. They bloom, they're pretty. But that'll stop us from having to mow Bay Ends Court, which I get over there about once a month, because it's all shaded. It's got a big locust tree in it. It's not really going to... But this is the price, if you look at that, to $1,500 to... Remove the evergreen bush that's there now and beat up. Install edging and dirt, crepe myrtles and lilies, and to install the landscape fiber and rocks. So it's all basically there, and that thing is done. But we won't have to touch it again, except maybe to go over there and put some weed prevention in and pull some weeds once in a while. But anyway, so that's the purpose for this. Basically, the bottom numbers, and this is based off the budget number from last year. This actually puts me over budget if we accept that number. But the point is I don't have to do all this fiscal year. I can do some of it between now and July, and I can do some of it after July. It's not going to be hard to stay within that budget. So I just want to make this available to all of you all so you knew what I was up to doing, what I was up to. That's kind of all I have. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I appreciate the breakdown and the very specific. And
you'd be surprised how hard that is to get from a contractor.
Where did you get this quote from?
One of my previous Boy Scouts, Eagle Scouts, has got his own company. And he's come over and done some stuff for us last summer. And I said, you need to break this down for me per item. I need to tell these people what we're talking about spending. So
does this include the labor?
This is everything. The only thing it doesn't include, Linda, is if you look at the islands, he doesn't want to quote the pants, so I actually quoted them at a much higher price than they're probably going to cost. I can get a flat of daylilies for like $9 online, and a flat maybe 12 or whatever.
So we're going to get away from mulch.
Well, it's basically going to be rock. There is no mulch.
Good.
But so the only thing I would ask him to change on this was he didn't mention, because I told him when we went around and looked at everything, I said the front entrance, we need to trim those trees properly, right? And they need to be shaped. A third of the top cut out of them so these things will not overgrow that island like they have. And he has mentioned everywhere else, edging those rock beds, because if you pay attention, about once a month I'm going up there with a flat shovel and throwing those rocks back on that. If we put a little curb around that, the only disadvantage there is it might get run over. Right? Everywhere else, it'll just keep stuff from falling over in the street or falling out onto the sidewalk and what have you. But that's so, and let me say one more thing on the crepe myrtles. On the flagpole, I would also like to plant the larger crepe myrtles, just because we have space.
They smell so good.
And here's the reason I selected crepe myrtles is because they're drought resistant. I mean, you can't kill them with a gallon of gas and a match, mm-hmm. right? So that's my thought process. I'm open. If there's other ideas y'all have, it doesn't have to be set in stone that it's crepe myrtle. I just did it because we won't have to put an irrigation system on our line. We shouldn't have to do anything special over at Bay Ends. They don't have irrigation systems. So it's something that's going to be more tolerant to swings, heavy swings one way or the other in water or drought. So that's what I'm up against, sir.
Go ahead.
When you're doing this with the rock problem, as you're doing it, if you took some of the soil out and then with the rocks, so they wouldn't break.
The rock's actually on top of some mesh.
It's landscaping fabric, but it's yeah. The answer would be no. You're not going to be able to control it. I mean, the only way to control it is to have the rock below. And again, he's got it factored in the bid. He's got. And if I could do all of this right now between now and July 1st and still basically remain in budget, right? Because I've got my lawn mowing. If you look on there, I went middle of May or March and factored the weeks that we would mow, and that's if we mow every week. That's on here.
Okay.
So approximate mowing costs, June 30th, $79.40. That's the total versus what I've charged already through November of last year. If that's $17,841.25, if you add that $12,000, it's $300 over what the proposed budget number is.
But our proposed budget starts July 1st.
I understand.
So
it's still the $32,500.
Right.
I didn't even put $500. I thought it was $32,000 even. So I'm still under budget. Now here's where this gets tricky for me. Right? I've got an electrician that's supposed to be quoting replacing the lights at the front entrance to LEDs. He is going to bid not putting up a new poles and board, right, which is what I kind of talked about last year, just replacing what was there so it didn't look awful on the two islands. He's going to build something that's enclosed that we can lock so that no one has access to the electric panels, no one has access to the irrigation system, so nobody can monkey with it anymore, right? He has not gotten back to me the cost yet.
Okay.
So he's been corresponding with me, but he's not sent me his cost. So it's not on here. Let's just say hypothetically he comes back with a $2,500 price or three. It would between now and July, I couldn't do all that. Right. So the point is, if I can do
it. Okay. Right. You could do a lot of it, most of it,
right,
and then just move it into
that's right. Carry it over July, and I'll be fine.
Okay.
So that's what's going on with me. If y'all have any questions, I'd be glad to answer.
Okay. Did you happen to look at the cover on the regulator?
Cover on what regulator?
The one at the... I was going out Westport Road today. Somebody's moved that cover again.
Cover on a regulator?
On the regulator. The water... On the
irrigation. On the rock? The rock?
Yeah.
No, I was just there yesterday.
I would be scared to death to get out of my automobile and even walk.
They don't do it during the day. They do it in the middle of the day.
No, I didn't notice. No,
yeah, it's up this high.
Yeah, no, I didn't notice. Are you sure the wind's not doing that?
What are they looking for?
They stole the regulator off
last year.
So they're looking to see if we replace it.
Yeah, so they can steal it again.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, probably.
I think it's just a bunch of dumb kids. I don't think there's anybody. I mean, somebody obviously. I don't think somebody stole it. I think somebody did. That's what I think.
If they'd hit it, they'd have broke that rock.
That rock is filed.
All right. Well.
Anyway, so that's
anything else. All right. Do I hear a motion?
Are you sure you got nothing down here?
Okay. One more. Is there any? We always give the citizens a chance to say something at the end. Okay. Do you want to say anything?
Well, I just would like to know if I have Dennis's number. By the way, Dennis used to be my captain in corrections. He was the best boss I ever had. But just for, you know, if we have questions, I don't know if Darren, you know, I hate to say he quit, but I guess say maybe he took a leave of absence because I'm not quite sure yet. But, you know, like just for us, you know, Jim is a little hard of hearing now. And if we have some questions, I mean, would you just email the Worthington's Hill.
Yeah, you can email whoever. You know, if it has to do with the trash or the utilities or whatever, you can email Linda. If it has to do with property maintenance, well, you all have your own contractors over there, so.
Well, yeah, we do as far as grounds and stuff like that.
And then
that's fine.
Campbell.
For your aunt.
Yeah,
nice
to you. Yeah, because
the email you'll have.
The last four just kind of walked away and left us empty-handed.
Well, you're always welcome to call. Okay.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
We'll give you. If you call me, you'll get an answer. Okay. You may not like it, but you get an answer.
Well, you know, we just don't like as far as the property behind us. We're kind of back there in that. You know.
Yeah, I call you all the orphans.
And that's why I think the annexation thing got all kind of messed up. We're just, you know, it's all new board members, and two of the girls are brand new in the neighborhood. So we didn't get very many answers from the last board. They didn't tell us nothing.
Well, you won't have that problem here.
Well, thank you.
But like I said, you may not
and
like
yes, it. And I'm ready to write a check for my taxes.
All right. Well,
and I appreciate it.
All right. Do I hear a motion to
close the meeting? Close meeting.
Thank you, Commissioner Hall. Do I second? Thank you, Commissioner Bedell. Y'all have a nice evening.